So welcome to Bhakti Singha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balram Hari Prabhu to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhuji, thank you so much for giving your valuable association and time to all of us. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to share what I am reading here. It is an assembly of devotees where any great devotees speak. So forgive me for my mistakes if I commit so. And please give your blessings so that whatever I speak, may that not be concocted, and may that be something that I have read, and may that be helpful for you and purifying for me. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udire. Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtikam mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate virim yat kripatam aham vande shri guru dinatarinam paramanandamadavam shri krishna chaitanyeshwaram krishnaya Vasudevaya, Devaki Nandanaya cha, Nandagopa Kumaraya, Govindaya Namo Namaha, Namaha Pankajanabhaya, Namaha Pankajamalini, Namaha Pankajanitraya, Namaste Pankajangrahe, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter Number 19, Text 24 and 25. Evam Indre Harati Ashvam Vainya Yagya Jighamshaya Tad Grita Vistrishteshu Pakhandeshu Matirnanam Dharma iti upadharmeshu nagna rakta patadishu prayena sajjate bhrantya peshaleshu cha vigamishu. Word by word meaning by Prabhupada. Evam, thus, Indre, when the king of heaven, Harati, stole, Ashvam, the horse, Vainya, of the son of King Vena, Yagya, the sacrifice, Jighamshaya, with a desire to stop, Tat, by him, Ghrita, accepted, Vistrishteshu, abandoned, Pakhandeshu, towards a sinful dress, Matihi, attraction, Nidam, of the people in general, Dharmaha, system of religion, Iti, thus, Upadharmeshu, towards false religious systems. Nagna, naked. Rakta, pata, red robed. Adishu, etc. Prayena, generally. Sajjate, is attracted. Bhrantya, foolishly. Peshaleshu, expert. And Vagmishu, eloquent. Translation and purport by Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. In this way, King Indra, in order to steal the horse from King Prithu's sacrifice, adopted several orders of sannyas. Some sannyasis go naked and sometimes they wear red garments and pass under the name Kapalika. These are simply symbolic representations of their sinful activities. These so-called sannyasis are very much appreciated by sinful men because they are all godless atheists and very expert in putting forward arguments and reasons to support their case. We must know, however, that they are only passing as adherents of religion and are not so in fact. Unfortunately, bewildered persons accept them as religious, and being attracted to them, they spoil their life. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, men in this age of Kali are short-lived, devoid of spiritual knowledge, and susceptible to accept false religious systems due to their unfortunate condition. Thus, they always remain mentally disturbed. The Vedic Shastras practically prohibit the adoption of sannyas in the age of Kali because less intelligent men may accept the sannyas order for cheating purposes. Actually, the only religion is the religion of surrender unto Supreme Personality of Godhead. We must serve the Lord in Krishna consciousness. All other systems of sannyas and religion are actually not bona fide. In this age, they are simply passing for religious systems. This is most regrettable. Sing the Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhudevacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishvanebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Again, seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, because I'm just like a crow. I don't have knowledge. And seeking your blessings so that I may speak only what I have heard and not concoct, because my mind is very susceptible to concocting things. So kindly bless me so that I can speak something that is purifying for me and is beneficial for you. So the current episode that we are seeing is where Prithu Maharaj is trying to perform the Rajasuya, the Ashwamedha Yagya. He is trying to do his 100th Ashwamedha Yagya, and he has a horse to sacrifice for this Ashwamedha. And here we see that the King of Heaven, so heaven itself is a huge responsibility and also a great luxury and enjoyment. So King of Heaven, Indra, has come down several times to steal a very simple object, that's a horse. Why? Because he is afraid of losing his position as Indra. He knows that if Prithu Maharaj would be able to perform this 100th Ashwamedha Yagya, then he becomes eligible to become the next Indra. And this shows a very interesting facet of people of this age, that is enviousness. Envy and so anger and envy that Indra is displaying here in this episode is something that is extremely commonly found nowadays. He is, and it is not that he came down once and he was caught by a trimuni, he went back, he did not do it again. He comes down several times in different garbs, different robes. And all he's trying to do is show himself as someone who he is not, for the sake of keeping what he has been given. So he has been given a responsibility, but the example that is currently being displayed is that he's attached and he's trying to keep it. So first thing to clarify is that he's a devotee, and the example that we see here is not a mark on his character, rather a lesson for us to learn. Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, he said a very nice thing, a very beautiful verse. Prabhupada quoted it many a times. This verse, Naham vipro na cha narapatir, napi vaishyo na shudro, naham varni na cha grahapatir, na vanastho yatirva. Kintu prodhyan nikhila paramananda purna amrita budhir gopi bharatur padakamalayor das 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 anudas. Prabhupada gives the translation, I am not a brahmana, I am not a kshatriya, I am not a vaishya or a shudra, nor am I a brahmachari, a householder, a vanaprastha or a sannyasi. I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He is like an ocean of nectar, and he is the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He is always existing with brilliance. So Lord himself, when he accepts the sannyas order, he clarifies, Rava, I am not a sannyasi. Don't put me into any of the varnas. Don't put me into any of the ashramas. I do not have a specific nature that you can qualify me just as a brahmana or a kshatriya or a shudra or a vaishya. I am actually simply a devotee, and I am accepting the sannyas order because I am seeing that people value, they bow down to this sannyas order. That is the reason I am accepting this sannyas order, leaving behind my mother who is alone, my father has left, leaving behind my wife, leaving behind accepting this sannyas order only for one thing, to distribute this pure Krishna prema. So Prabhupada, when he is describing this incidence of Indra, he says that the Vedic Shastras practically prohibit adoption of sannyas in the age of Kali because less intelligent men may accept the sannyas order for cheating purposes. We need not recount how many times we might have heard ourselves of these incidences where so many people actually they put on a dress and they pose as someone to get something that they did not deserve. When I was reading Lord Bhaktivinoda Thakur some time back, so when Bhaktivinoda Thakur is in Puri, there is this personality called Bishaksena, very demoniac personality, but he poses himself as a sadhu. He has a lot of mystic powers, and he helps cure people. But what he does is, he invites them for his own enjoyment. So that is a very common aspect found nowadays. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not spare him. He went from pillar to post. He was given this case by the British Raj because people started protesting at one point of time. He went to every possible place to find out evidences that clarify that this Bishak Sena is not a sadhu, is not a sannyasi, he's in a garb. And then he punishes him. He finds, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur suffers a lot. He suffered physically a lot. His whole family suffered. Yet he did not spare him, because such unscrupulous people, they should not be left like that. That becomes a huge challenge for the society. Prabhupada mentions here that he mentions many things. He said there are sannyasis who go naked. They are Nagababas, they are Kapaliks, they are Aghoris, and some actually try to put on red cloth. This is a pure display of what Prabhupada calls as Markat Vairagya. We see in many examples Prabhupada quotes that he says, you know, there are monkeys who have nothing. They stay on top of a tree or under a tree, but their mind is always hankering. This display of trying to keep something, or this display of envious nature, or this display of duplicity, is actually what Prabhupada calls as Markat Vairagya. That I show something, that I am someone else, but the mind is constantly hankering upon many objects of sense gratification. And Indra, we see that he is sucked into this specific attribute, where he seems to be completely overwhelmed by envy and anxiety of losing his position. In the subsequent verses, we'll also read that it was mutual. Prithu Maharaj wanted to achieve heaven, and Indra was anxious that I should not lose this. So it is remediated like that both should give up now. Indra has not been able to steal the horse successfully, and Brahma comes and remediates that. O king, you don't have to do this. You have achieved everything that is needed for you. So it is remediated. But this specific instance, it describes clearly to us that this tendency of trying to show what people will like to appreciate and what I am not is something that we have to root out from ourselves. In Ishopanishad, right in the preface, Prabhupada mentions that in this age there are four distinct characteristics people have. First, they are prone to commit mistakes. Second, they are prone to be illusioned. They do not know the facts, and because we are alpa medha, we have less intelligence, that's why we are prone to be illusioned. Third, he says that there's a great tendency to cheat. And fourth, that senses are imperfect. Now, because we have a tendency to cheat, that is why we come across people who are there to cheat us. If we would be clear in our intention that I want to be honest, then Krishna will arrange us for us that we meet a sadhu who is actually practicing Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we'll meet many people in our life who will try to give us something which at the end turns out to be material. And that is not because there are so many so-called sannyasis, but it is because, well, they exist, but it happens because there's a cheating tendency in us. That's why we come across this. And Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that this manifests in us, this is called vipralipsa, to show what we are not, which means a duplicitous or a hypocritic nature. That is the very basic aspect of, the fundamental aspect of people in this age of Kali. So when I was reading this verse and hearing some classes, one interesting story came up. When Hanumanji was sent to pick up medicines for Lord Lakshmana, when he reached the mountains where Sanjeevani was there, he reaches there and he sees someone is chanting the names of Lord Ram. So he becomes very happy because he does not know what is Sanjeevani Bhuti. He just reaches the place. And he asks this person, do you know where is Sanjeevani? And this person, he says, well, you have just come. Take some rest. Eat some food. Be peaceful. Now here Hanumanji is anxious because he has to perform a service. But this person is somehow slowing him down. But somehow Hanumanji gets convinced. This person tells him, go take a bath, you will be relaxed, then come back. So Hanumanji goes to the lake to take bath, and there he's caught by a crocodile. And with his power, he kills the crocodile. A beautiful lady emerges out of it. And she clarifies this to Hanumanji that the person you see there, he is not a sadhu who is helping you. He has other motives. He is Kalanemi, who Ravana has sent. So Hanumanji gets puzzled that he has not been able to identify someone who is duplicitous in nature, and he has taken his word. So he goes and kills Kalanemi. So this example shows us that this is a display of example, I mean, of a scenario, what can happen to us as well, that people may come to us in different garbs and we will not be able to find out whether they are true or not. And that's why Prabhupada perhaps so many times he emphasizes, then one must follow a bona fide spiritual master and a bona fide sampradaya. Because if it is not bona fide, if it is not coming down in a disciplic succession, if it has not stood the test of time, if it is not being spoken from authentic religious scriptures, then it will be concocted. And that will lead us nowhere. It is like a circle. We start and then we end up same place. We start at a material concept and we will end up in another material concept, higher or lower, still material. So that is the quality of this age. And Prabhupada in this verse, actually, he clarifies one word. He says, upadharmeshu. And he says it means false religious systems. And then he clarifies towards the end that these so-called sannyasis are very much appreciated by sinful men because they are all godless atheists and very expert in putting forward arguments and reasons to support their case. So why we accept these people? Because we ourselves have very strong material desires and attachments. And if we keep watering only material aspirations within, then we will look for only those leaders who can help us achieve that. Sannyasis are leaders. Real sannyasis help us, they lead the path by walking on it and we follow. And false sannyasis, they lead us on their own agenda. We do make some material progress, but in turn, we lose our Shraddha, faith on the Supreme Absolute Truth. Because all that happens is, we keep putting faith on these so-called spiritual leaders who are not. And he says, Prabhupada says, they are appreciated by sinful men because they are godless atheists. If people do not have correct conception of who God is, that person is a godless atheist. I mean, atheist is a very, very, very general term. People start calling themselves atheists at many stages. But really an atheist is someone who does not understand truly who is a God. Who is God? Some believe light as God. Some believe this Baba, that Baba as God. But a theist is a person, or a devotee is a person who understands that this is the object of my worship because he is Bhagavan. Others are not. That person is a devotee. So this happens most times in this age of Kali. Now, how do we help ourselves out of this situation? Because there will be people who will cheat us or try to cheat us, because the nature of this age is like that. Prithu Maharaj, and this the story of Prithu Maharaj and King Indra is an example for us. It is reality, and we understand it happens under certain circumstances. But the most important aspect is what I learn from it for my purification. So we all know this verse, Kalir Dosho Nidhe Rajan Astihi Eko Mahan Gunan Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramrajet. We all know this verse. We have been hearing it so many times. What do we do? This age of Kali is like that. It is full of quarrel and hypocrisy, and very, very few good attributes we will find in people. Prabhupada says, Asti hi eko mahan gunan. There is one great benediction. And that benediction is that Kirtana Deva Krishnasya, simply by chanting the holy names of Lord, Mukta Sangha Paramrajit, one can be freed from this repeated cycle of birth and death and birth and death. That is the greatest benediction that we have in this age of Kali. To further qualify this, what chanting of holy name means, once Bhakti Siddhanta Sarastakur, he clarified, because we all might think that just Harinam is something that we can do. Many times I have heard devotees saying, actually many devotees try to avoid going to Sangha or even, let's say it gets late at night at many programs, because most of us are grihasthas, programs happen in the evening, it may get late. Some people try to avoid it, thinking this may not be good for me. One has to use one's discretion, definitely at times. But Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur said that our bhakti will fructify in two conditions. First, sadhu sangha, and second, Vaishnav seva. And he qualifies that Vaishnav seva is of utmost importance, because in Vaishnav seva we have sadhu sangha, because Vaishnav is a sadhu. In Vaishnav seva we have shravanam, because the Vaishnav, all he does is he will tell me about Krishna. And in Vaishnav seva there is kirtanam, because the Vaishnav will make me chant. So Vaishnav seva is of utmost importance. He says that simply by trying to chant Harinam in seclusion, our anarthas will not go away. And a simple example is, this is one big reason we need a spiritual master, Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru, because so Guru word is, Guru means heavy, like we say the planet Jupiter as Guru because it's the heaviest planet. We say Brahaspati is heavy. Astrologically, when people say that Guru is heavy, his Guru is heavy. So, Guru is actually meant to be heavy, because
You're muted, Prabhuji. Krishna Prabhuji, you appear to be muted. Hare Krishna. Okay. Can someone send him a text message or something?
Yeah, I'm trying to send that message. Just a minute.
Krishna, can you hear me now?
Yes, Prabhuji. You stopped at the point when you were talking about Jupiter being heavy compared to Guru.
Okay, sorry.
There you were.
Sorry, Mataji. Sorry. So, the point is that we need someone very heavy in our life to correct us. It is not for punishment. And just a few days back, I was walking, and while walking, I saw two boys on a cycle, small boys, and with their father. And one of them said that, yes, God will punish that person. And I was, when I heard that sentence, I was thinking, I cannot recollect in any of the classes or having read that Krishna punishes. So, the word is not always literally a punishment. It is always correction. Krishna, when he delivered, there was a message. When he killed, there was a message. So, same way, a guru is not there for punishing us. It's in English, the word punishment has a very corporal meaning, that someone is literally pushed to death or pushed to some atrocities for something that he has committed. But our scriptures show us that correction is not for punishment. Correction is for it's for us to purify ourselves of certain bad qualities, anarthas, which are impediments for us on this path of bhakti, and take the next step. So that's why we need guru, real sadhu. And I was just reading some things and came across a story, I mean, some quotes by Kidrana Sradhana Swami Maharaj. He says that the opposite of this duplicity is simplicity. And he says, the Vedic scriptures define simplicity, I'm literally quoting him, the Vedic scriptures define simplicity as the ability to lead a truthful life, free from duplicity and hypocrisy. This truthfulness is so ingrained in a sincere person that he is willing to speak the truth even to an enemy. So this is the aspect of truthfulness, of not cheating. And Maharaj further goes on explaining that if one is truthful, then anxiety is not there, because a truthful person is not worried that speaking such things will help me gain something or speaking such thing will make me lose something. He is truthful because it's a principle of his life. And this truthfulness helps us keep simple. And for simple people, I have seen practicing bhakti is very, very easy. I'm a very complicated person. And my wife often points out to me the mistakes I make. She's clear, do not do this, it will be harmful for yourself. And we also have seen, we keep discussing, we see many devotees around us who have very, very simple heart. For them, practicing bhakti is very easy. They don't have to toil hard to practice bhakti. Whether they can do it, if they can do it, they do it. If they can't do it, they can't do it. And both are equally acceptable for them. They know that something is there that I cannot do, but they accept it easily. So this simplicity is of very importance. If I'm duplicitous, I'll have a great difficulty executing my daily devotional service. And in this regard, there is a story from our history. So Gautam Rishi, we all know about Gautam Rishi. He was once approached by a small boy, for he wanted to become his disciple. And we know that in those days, it used to be by our patriarchal lineage, what we call as Gotra. So Gautam Rishi asked this small boy, what is your Gotra? The boy did not know the answer. So he goes to his mother. His mother's name is Jabali. She was a prostitute. So he asks his mother, what is my Gotra? Who is my father? And she says, I don't know. I meet so many men. I don't know whose son you are. So the boy goes back to this Rishi, Gautam Rishi, and he says exactly the same thing. He says, my mother told me she does not know who my father is. So Gautam Rishi, he was stunned. And he said that because you have the courage of speaking truth, even in the face of this adversity, you must be son of a Brahmana. Because you have this Brahminical quality of being non-duplicitous. You are what you are. So it's a big example for us to see that what this quality of truthfulness or this quality of being non-duplicitous gives us. And this duplicity arises only when we are envious or anxious of our attachments. If we are not anxious of our attachments, if we can let go our attachments, then we don't have too many anxieties. We are okay losing if that happens, and we are happy protecting things if we can utilize them. Prabhupada says, utility is the principle. Keeping things is not the principle. So, in this regard, there is a poem that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written. He says, I'll just quote that, Prabhu tuva pade juge mura nivedan nahi mangi deha shukha vidya dhana jan nahi mangi swarga ar moksha nahi mangi nahi kori prarthana kono vibhutiro lagi. That, O my Lord, I have one request at your lotus feet. I am not asking for any sense enjoyments. I am not asking for knowledge, nor am I asking for money, nor for followers. And so basically his request is that I am not seeking any of these things which this world can give me. All I am asking is literally keep me at your lotus feet. So this is completely contrary to what we see in this example of Indra is trying to protect his heaven and Prithu Maharaj is trying to offer the 100th oblation to gain heaven. So both aspects, there is this commonality of anxiety to achieve something, just material. Now Prithu Maharaj has a plan that he is trying to do this so that he can, well, he has already saved earth, but he wants to give protection to his praja. And Indra, he being the king of heaven, is trying to keep his position. Both may have their own justifications, but this example that is coming out, it gives us lesson that first, be careful from being cheated, because this will happen. We have many cheaters here. Why? Because we ourselves have this cheating propensity. If we do not have this cheating propensity, we will not come across people who want to cheat us. Because if our vision is clear of who is a real sadhu, Krishna will give us, he is Chaitya Guru, he is sitting in our heart. He will send us a real guru for our purification and advancement. I would like to end by one small, it's a narration by His Holiness Jayapada Goswami Maharaj. And what he said, it struck me very much. It was a class on this verse itself. So he said that nowadays everyone is trying to practice an external religion. What is external religion? Religion which is devoid of its actual purpose. And what is that? Material prosperity. In every aspect, even in the name of yoga, what we see is that it is bodily comfort, or it is display of acumen, that I have the skill of a very flexible body, or it is, because I see so many places here, there is display, Bikram yoga, hot yoga, Bikram yoga, hot yoga. I asked one of my colleagues, he goes to hot yoga, it's called hot yoga. So what do you do? So he gave me some answer, which I didn't understand much. But his perspective was, I will keep fit. So end of the day, purpose of yoga that is being displayed is simply meant for material comfort. There is no other reason of all these external religions. Nothing else. And then he said two words which which sound rhythmic but have very profound meaning, at least for me. They said, one must find out what is internal religion and what is eternal religion. Because eternal religion is the internal religion. And then he went on to speak at length that this Krishna consciousness, which Prabhupada clarifies in Ishopanishad beginning, clarifies that everyone calls us Hindu, Hindu, Hindu. We are not Hindu. We are following Sanatana Dharma, eternal religion. There was nothing called Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. There was only one religion because God is only one. There could be many prophets, there could be many saints who come in due course of time as per time, place and circumstances. But that does not divide God. And Maharaj was saying that one has to find out what is this eternal religion. It is simply serving the lotus feet of Lord. Why? Because we want to give pleasure to Him. The other day I was in a class. This class was by Braj Mohan Prabhu. He was here in Dallas. So he said, he asked a question. Why do we worship Krishna? And he gave a couple of choices. And I right away said, because I find it difficult to be in this world. And he said, that is not the real reason. That is again a material aspect. Because I am trying to seek, I am just trying to go out of this material world. That is not Krishna's pleasure. Real bhakti means, I am performing it because Krishna will be pleased. When Krishna is pleased, there are many outcomes. One may get a lot of things. If Krishna allows, one may be freed of this material birth and death, or one may come back if he simply wants to, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, all I am asking, I am not even asking to be Brahma, I don't want liberation. All I am asking is simply keep me in a devotee's association. So that is eternal religion. Somehow, in some way, to follow and please the Supreme Lord. And that is the internal religion. That is what his heart is hankering for. Our mind is perplexed by so many billboards. It sees a billboard of a car. It sees billboard of an iPhone. It sees billboard of a jewelry. It sees billboard of a resort. I mean, there are endless billboards. And that's why there are also endless desires. But the heart, anyone who has chanted in association of devotees will feel that there is a great joy, and such a joy that association may end physically at a point of time, but that joy continues in the heart, and we can feel that heart hankers for that kind of association, that kind of joy, where everyone is literally calling out loudly the holy names of Lord. In the month of May, we were in Sadhu Sangha in North Carolina. And it was such a blissful atmosphere because there were great devotees singing. But more than singing, they were inspiring us to somehow contemplate on the holy name and chant. His Holiness Sachin Maharaj, he really asked us that dive deep into this holy name and you will find what it brings. And in the concluding kirtan, His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Govind Maharaj, he mentioned that this Harinam is what we have, because when we together, he mentioned Sankirtan quite a few times. He said this Sankirtan is what we have. This Sankirtan is our goal. This Sankirtan is our path. This Sankirtan is also the fruits which we may sit and eat if we are tired on the path. And he gave many different analogies. His conclusion was that together chanting the holy name in association of Vaishnavas is what this heart is hankering for. Alone, But in the association of Vaishnavas, when we are serving them, and when we are together with other Vaishnavas, then this Harinam has the potency to give us, how to say, satisfaction. Why? Because coming together, we are really able to call out. You know, just like a child cries, we are able to call out Lord for His mercy. Just a few days back, we were talking to a couple, and one of them, he used to chant the Mahamrityunjaya mantra of Lord Shiva. And they have somehow accepted Prabhupada's book. They are reading it. So they asked that, what is the meaning of this Mahamantra? I was giving the example. Prabhupada said that this is literally a cry. Mother Radha is crying out to her that all we are asking is somehow give us some service, because all of us at some point in time we have felt in our heart that when we are able to offer some service, whether it is kirtan, whether it's shravanam, whether it's cooking, whether it is book distribution, whether it is cleaning temple, whatever we are able to do collectively with all our limited abilities, this has given us great satisfaction, because it is for the satisfaction of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. So when I heard His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj yesterday, him talking about this internal religion, this reminded me of many things. And he ended this with saying that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he clarified that this, because Prabhupada said many times that I have given whatever I could in this short period of time, but try to cultivate this Varnashram Dharma. So he clarified, Maharaj was clarifying that Varnashram by itself means nothing, because the goal might be something else. And that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he emphasized that there has to be Daivi Varnashram Dharma. The goal has to be for the pleasure of Lord. If the goal is for the pleasure of Lord, then all these arrangements, whether it is an arrangement in terms of Varna, or if it is arrangement in terms of Ashrama, will fit in perfectly for that purpose, and there will not be much chaos in society. So these are few of the points that I was able to hear and assimilate from the classes. And this incident, the incident itself may not be very exemplary, because two people one is a devotee and other is a Shaktyavesh avatar, so they are opposite to each other, and the qualities which are coming out are not very great from the incident. But the message that gets conveyed, the message that Prabhupada conveys is of importance to us, because at least I know for myself that I have this reading tendency. And reading this gave me some more inspiration to somehow basically inspire myself to be at least a little more truthful. That will help me. So thank you so much, everybody, for giving me this opportunity to read and hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'll end it here. Forgive me for my offenses. Forgive me for the mistakes I would have made. I'm a very naive bhakta, trying to practice little devotional service. So please forgive me. Hare Krishna. If there be any comments or corrections, please go forward.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your enlightening class. Thank you so much for the stories and the incidents happened to you and the realizations which you feel. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. I will request devotees, if they have any question or comment for Prabhuji, they can ask. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Prabhuji. Very beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. If there be no comments or corrections, then perhaps we can end the class.
Very good, sir. If no one has any question or comments for Prabhuji, then we can end the call here.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, very much.